Ready, begin.
Oh, look, it worked. I said it and it worked.
It did. It's like magic.
I do have some power. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what this podcast does.
Well, and it reveals your magic. I'm Kimberly Adams. It's Friday, which around here means Happy Hour Friday.
snap.
As we like to call it, Economics on Tap. Thank you so much for... I guess we're not live streaming today, so for listening, whenever you are listening.
Yeah, just for listening. I mean, for those 500-600 people who usually live stream with us, we're working on it. We will get back. I promise we're training up some people and doing some stuff sort of behind the scenes. But we are going to do some news. We are going to do some half full, half empty. And I need you, Kimberly Adams, to share whatever that vile concoction is that you are drinking with the podcasting world.
Okay, so I wanted to do an absinthe cocktail today, so I asked the folks in Discord for their suggestions of something with absinthe that it was not a Sazerac, and someone who goes by Jack Daniel, yes, I know, all the things, on Discord suggested this drink called Death in the Afternoon, which is basically absinthe and sparkling wine. Which I happen to have, which I know I'm not really a bubbles person. So the fact that I had it was something, but it felt like it needed a little snazzing up, you know? So I added, of course, bitters because I'm me. And then because snazzing I am still I am still trying to finish off that bottle of Midori from that project so long ago. Of Stong Tales, I went ahead and added a little dash of Midori to it. And you know what? It's not bad. It is incredibly strong. This will probably be the only drink I have tonight. But it's a weird color, but it does not taste bad. Unlike the last green cocktail I had, it does not taste like college.
That's fair. Mine tastes like beer because that's what I'm having. A Golden Road right here, local brewery, now owned by a giant conglomerate. But it's a session IPA from them just because I got some things to do this afternoon. Look, I'm very straightforward. Although I will say, in my defense, and you gave me a little shout out on Instagram, I think, I had some brown liquors over the holidays, you know.
Yes, you did. You did. So, I was so happy.
I know.
I'm so happy to see that.
I contain multitudes. All right, let's do the news here, shall we?
Yeah, you go first.
All right, good. I'll go first. Mine's quick and dirty, and it's more news you can use, and here's the deal. So Sarah Cliff, healthcare investigative reporter extraordinaire at the New York Times, had a piece today on private insurers being required to cover the at-home coronavirus tests that Americans are going to buy in pharmacies and other stores. That starts tomorrow. So your purchases over the holidays, they don't count. Your purchases yesterday, they don't count. But anything you buy tomorrow and on is going to count. But Sarah called some insurance companies and said, hey, are you guys set for this? And they said, no. They said, save all your receipts, save the boxes from these tests, save every scrap of evidence, because filing these claims is going to be a nightmare. The quote is, it's going to be exceedingly difficult for most health plans to implement this in 4 days, because the rules came out on Monday. So just look out. That's all I'm saying. Be ready, save your docs, and look, buy the tests and get tested, but it's going to be a while before you get paid back. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I cannot imagine they had no inkling this was coming.
Well, look, we knew the Biden administration was talking about it before the holidays, which is why when my wife bought she bought like five because that's all you're allowed to buy. She said, oh, this is great. The health insurance companies are going to pay us back. And I was like, no, babe, they're not, because those rules don't go into effect for another 2.5 weeks. So, yeah, they knew it was coming.
I wonder how much of it, and, you know, far be it from me to assign ill intent to the health insurance industry in the United States, but it feels like they're preemptively saying they're going to make it exceedingly difficult to get access to something they're legally to do something that they are legally required to let you do. And I don't like that at all. Speaking of COVID related things that are kicking in tomorrow here in Washington, D.C., the vaccine mandate for where you have to show a proof of vaccination in order to get into most places is starting tomorrow. So this is covering, let's see, restaurants, gyms, bars, indoor venues and things like that. And, you know, DC residents, like full-time residents for the most part, were just like, bet, let's do this, get it out of the way. But DC also happens to be home to our federal government with many, many people from all over the country who work in the federal government. And several GOP lawmakers who are very opposed to vaccine mandates of any sort or mask mandates or any of these things have been trying to put pressure on the DC government to block this. Now, they have not been able to do it, but they're going online and tweeting and saying that they're not going to comply with the local laws. And DC, with its weird taxation without representation thing going on, is often dealing with Congress trying to weigh in on local governance, which is highly ironic given the narrative that often comes from these folks. But anyway, it will be very fascinating starting tomorrow to see what happens with these people who say, claim that they will not adhere to these requirements, because the fines are pretty stiff for business owners who don't comply. So that's my thing slightly related to your thing. Now, I do live in D.C. now, but as I may have mentioned once or twice, I am actually from St. Louis. And there was an amazing story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today about this $790 million settlement between basically St. Louis and the NFL Rams over how they left St. Louis to go to where you are. And to put it mildly, folks in my hometown were salty at the way that that went down. And as one of the lawyers involved said, that because they fought and won this settlement, the St. Louis region had basically gone into a lull of obscurity. The settlement put us back on the map in an incredibly positive manner. We just slew the dragon. And this article lays out sort of everything that the city and the sort of tourism bureau and everybody else had to go through to file this lawsuit. They're accusing the NFL and the owners of like all these different things and really calculating how much it cost the city to lose the team. They're saying the suit said that St. Louis lost up to $3.5 million a year in amusement and ticket and tax revenue, as well as $7.5 million in property tax and $1.4 million in sales tax, plus millions in other taxes. The county claimed it lost hotel tax, property tax, and sales tax revenue. $18 million that the city spent on a campaign for a new stadium to try to entice the Rams to stay. And so they're recouping some of this money. And we often hear about how cities paying for sports stadiums rarely makes economic sense. And on top of that, what they're saying is that now this case is going to become precedent that people not only look at when a team is coming to town, but when a team tries to leave. So I found it very fascinating. And this and is look, also the whole, what happens the whole... when you...
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this is what happens when you piss off Midwesterners. We get real petty and then we we hold a grudge.
That's fair. Yeah.
No, what were you going to say?
You know, well, sports is a business and we can't ever forget that. But that said, the idea that billionaire owners of these franchises sort of abscond without, you know, thinking it through, I'm not at all upset that the Rams had to pay. Not at all upset. Not at all. You know, not at all. All right, let's do a thing. The first of the year, I think. Here we go. My goodness.
Okay, this is half full, half empty. I should say that this incredibly strong drink I have is still almost entirely full. where we give you our thoughts and feelings and emotions and vibes on various topics. Drew Jostad is hosting this for us. Hey, Drew.
Hey, it's great to be back.
I know, it's been a while.
Are you half full or half empty on the IRS processing refunds on time this year?
Half please, empty, for sure.
Please, please. It's not happening. I mean, this is the story where the National Taxpayer Advocate, which is sort of the hello, Kai, the advocate for taxpayers within the Internal Revenue Service, had a report that said they have 5 million pieces of unopened correspondence lying around. Forget it. We're never getting a refund.
I mean, just get it in early, file it digitally if you can. And, right. you know, of right. course, this is going to be yet another one of those things that hits people who can deal with it, who are least able to deal mm-hmm, with it, mm-hmm, like the mm-hmm, folks who mm-hmm. are filing their taxes by mail. By the exactly way, Nancy right. Marshall Ginzer once profiled the taxpayer advocate.
No, I know. It was a great little story. Actually.
I'm sure it's
on our website. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Come on. There we go.
Oh, Poppy.
One of the dogs is here. Yep. Here we go. It's Bonzo. She's been needing some love lately, which I'm happy to provide.
All right,
Drew, number two, go.
Number two, half full or half empty on investment in the femtech sector.
Oh,
God,
I liked
who did this
story.
Was that on tech?
Yes,
I thought
was.
So. It Sorry, was. it's very early when I hear tech. So
no, it's okay.
Look,
it's
at least
okay.
I remembered it was you.
Yes. No, this is something that actually a bunch of folks on the tech team have been dabbling in and out of. But this is the segment of the tech industry that focuses on products designed for women or intersex folks or other people who have traditionally been neglected by the mainstream consumer tech industry. So the classic thing that people think about when they think about femtech is like period tracking apps or, you know, the mm-hmm. apps that let you track when you're ovulating, if you're trying to get pregnant, or even, you know, sexual and wellness type consumer products. But the person that we interviewed was actually talking about really advanced medical procedure tech, like things that help screen more easily for breast cancer or that help kids that are born premature in developing countries. So there's a lot of tech in this sector that was very interesting. But if the question is half full or half empty on investment in the space, I am still going to say half empty because it's still a very, very small slice of it.
I'm going with Kimberly on this one just because she's the subject matter expert. So whatever Kimberly said. That's for me.
I wouldn't go as far as all right, that. I asked questions about it. Next.
Fair enough. Drew, go ahead.
Next is half full or half empty on the impact of the vaccine mandate to cross the Canada border.
I don't know. What's is there? Okay, I don't know the story.
If I recall correctly, and Drew might have to correct me, truck drivers now have to show proof of vaccination to get into Canada,
oh, wow.
where they'd been exempted in the past. Is that right, Drew?
That's correct.
Yes. And so this is tying into all these supply chain issues that we've been having.
Yeah. I think I'm in favor of everybody having to show vaccines, up to and including Novak Djokovic, by the way. If I could just mix my stories.
Explain that story.
You know the story, right? So
I know the broad outlines of it, but, you know, you mentioned
sorry,
it. Not
I'm
every
just, I'm
We're making everybody now. Smart. You got to add context.
So Novak Djokovic, the number one tennis player in the world, went into Australia saying he had an exemption, but the Australians took issue with it. And now it's a huge mess, and he's in some sort of immigration limbo. Sorry, I'm just looking to check. He's in immigration limbo as to whether or not he's going to be allowed to stay because he entered some false information on his visa application, and it's just a huge mess. But anyway, get a vaccine.
My whole, Twitter thread related to this is, imagine if it was Serena.
Oh, completely. Or Naomi Osaka? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Right?
Yes.
Totally. Naomi Osaka skips a press conference and everybody's all up in arms and the WTA or whatever the, you know, professional organizing body is does bupkis to protect her when she's clearly in mental distress, right? Mm-hmm. And now Djokovic, because he's a white dude, is like, yeah, I'm going to go to Australia. See ya. You know?
Break all the rules. Out. No big.
Right. The rules don't apply to me. I can't break them because they don't apply to me. Come on. Jesus.
Okay, but vaccine requirement for Canada, I'm going to go full on that one.
Yeah,
I would like
I'm full.
This pandemic to stop, please, for the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'll just trot out that same phrase, whatever Kimberly said. Just saying.
I like the sound of that. Let's go with this.
At least I'm consistent.
Yeah.
Half full or half empty on companies using inflation in their marketing.
Tell me more.
I don't know. I don't know the specific story wherever you speak, but that would seem to be a double-edged sword. Is there a reference you can give, Mr. Chastat?
I have a story from Matt Levin on the Morning Report this week about Del Taco sort of referencing increased car prices in their advertising. But apparently they're not actually using the word inflation unlike they did in the 70s.
Wow. Look, I mean, it's not like nobody knows prices are going up. So if it helps you sell your product, I suppose that's more power to you. I'm half full, I suppose, you know.
I mean,
I suppose
advertising that works, I suppose, is half full for the company. Sure how great it is for our arteries to be eating more tacos, although they are delicious.
Yeah, no joke.
You know, so I'll just go half and half.
There you go. Fair enough.
I guess it's always half and half. If it's half full and half empty, then either way, it's the same.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Nothing matters.
This is going to be an all NFL lawsuit themed show here, because you half full or half empty on a $6 billion lawsuit filed by a resident of New York State against the New York Jets and Giants because they play in New Jersey?
So I was living in New York as a teenager when the Giants moved to what was then called the Meadowlands. I don't know if it still is, right? And everybody in New York was like, oh my God, are they going to be the New Jersey Giants now? Blah, blah, blah. And then everybody conveniently forgot about it for, 35-ish, 40 years, whatever. And now I guess it's back. I don't care. Dude, man, get a life. Get a life. $6 billion, shut up. That's where I am.
I mean, despite the fact that I brought a sports story, I don't actually care. Let's think.
Yeah.
I should be able to form an opinion about something I know very little about. That's what we all do.
That's what Twitter's for.
Let's go with half full. Why not? For fun.
Fair.
No justification required.
So be it.
None whatsoever.
Not at all. Never. Boom. There we go. Oh, my goodness. Well, there we go.
That was fun.
Half full, half empty. That was it. That was us coming back after 3-something weeks off. We are off on Monday, by the way, for Martin Luther King Day. We'll be back on Tuesday when we're talking to Neal Stephenson about sci-fi. He's a great sci-fi writer, and we're going to talk about a little bit about his latest book, but more importantly about the genre of sci-fi and how that might help us think about the future, because I think you have to think about the future a little bit more now. Just the last couple of years has made me, anyway, realize that. Anyway, so we'll be back on Tuesday with that, me and Kimberly.
Yes, and I do love some sci-fi. If you have questions, comments, or just want to share something that made you smile, or you have sci-fi recommendations for me, go ahead and send us an email, makemesmart@marketplace.org, or leave us a voice message. We're at 508-827-6278 or 508-UB-SMART. Okay. Today's episode of Make Me Smart was produced by Marissa Cabrera and Mark A. Green. It was engineered by the wonderful Drew Jostad. Senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
The team behind our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCune. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad. He can actually do everything. The director of On Demand, speaking of people who can do everything, is Donna Tam. Oh, that's some timing right there.
That was beautiful. Nicely done.
Are you the one who told me about The Expanse?
Probably, yes. I do.
Yeah.
Like,
so I watched an episode on a plane, and I really liked it. And for whatever reason, I never got back to it. Apparently, season 6 has just wrapped up, and it's getting all kinds of love on Twitter. So I'm going to have to go back to that, actually.